Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of jihad and terrorism of Islam. In our last program, I ended our study when I talked about the conflict between me and most of the Americans, those who do not believe that jihad and terrorism is the foundation of Islam. They come to me and say that I'm not teaching the truth, simply because they have wonderful Muslim friends, wonderful Muslim co-worker, wonderful Muslim doctors, those whom they know for years here in America. And obviously, as I said, we cannot judge Islam by what I say or what Muslims do, but we can only judge Islam by what is written in the pages of the Quran, that is Allah's words and Muhammad's words in the Hadith. And today, I would like to take you to a deeper level in our study to see, is it true that a Muslim can be peaceful, loving, and a friend with infidels? I mean, with the Jews, Christians, and others? Or there may be a mystery we can understand by reading specific passages in the Quran. And these are the passages which many Muslim deceivers practice here in the United States of America and all over the West. And that is our study for today. And a good example of that is the practice of taqiyya. Yes, I know this is a new word for you and you need to learn it and you need to share it with others. What is taqiyya? It is the word protection. That is how Muslims can keep their belief in Islam while they're living among infidels in the early days when Muslims do not have the upper hand, when Muslims are weak. Listen first to the word of Allah. In Quran chapter 3 verse 28, Allah said, "Believers, do not take the infidels for friends rather than the believers. And whoever does this, so he has nothing to do with Allah, except that you should guard yourself from them cautiously. And Allah himself warns you, and to Allah is the final return." This verse reminds me of what Allah said in Quran chapter 5 verse 51. When Allah said, "O you who have believed, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends." So you see, there is a consistency in the Quran. Muslims are commanded not to take infidels, that is Christians or Jews or anyone who is not a Muslim, for friends. But here in this verse, that is Quran 3:28, we read the word except. And whenever you read the Quran and you see the word except or unless or but, you need to pause and consider what comes after it. For here we read, except that you should guard yourself from them. If a Muslim is living in a community and he's afraid for his life and he is weak, he does not have the upper hand. In this case alone, there is an exception. Therefore, a Muslim can be friend with the infidels, because that is the only way for the Muslim to protect themselves. Because if they show their real color, if they show their real nature, if they show their real belief, the jihadi belief, the terrorization belief of the Medini Quran, then they will be removed from the land. Maybe they will be killed. But the only way for Muslims to survive when they live as a small minority in any land is to practice the taqiyya. And let me give you the interpretation of that verse by the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalayn, who said, "If you are afraid of them," meaning the infidels, "you can take them as friends with your tongues, not with your hearts. And this can be practiced before the glory of Islam." And Muslims can take infidels as friends only if they live in a country they are not strong in. Can you imagine? Al-Jalayn is giving the blueprint for the Muslims who lived in Europe 30 years ago, and he's giving the same blueprint for the Muslims who live in America today. That is like Allah or his scholar Al-Jalalayn is telling the Muslim people who live in the West, when you are afraid of the infidels, when you do not have the strength and the might, when you are weak, you can take the infidels for friends. But watch only with your tongues. You say to them, I love you, but in your heart hate them. You say to them, you are my special friends, but in your heart gain all enmity toward them. That is the practice of Islam before the glory of Islam. That is when the Muslims are not strong in any land. We saw it in Europe 30 years ago, and we see it in America today. Yes, I understand that there are many Muslims who live in peace with others, non-Muslims in the West. But have you ever thought to look in the Quran to see what Allah said about that? Let me share with you one important verse. As a matter of fact, I believe that verse is very important. That's why I put it on the back of the cover of our translation of the Quran, the Generous Quran. Listen to the word of Allah. In Quran chapter 47 and verse 35, Allah said, so do not be weak and do not call for peace when you have the upper hand. Did you hear the verse, my friends? Listen to it again. Quran 47, 35. Allah is telling the Muslims, Allah is telling the believers, this is a very important command. Chapter 47 is a Madini chapter, as it is the case of every Madini command. Allah said, so do not be weak and do not call for peace when you have the upper hand. The catch point is when the Muslim have the upper hand. When Muslims do not have the upper hand, they're weak. Therefore, they can be very peaceful. But when Muslims have the upper hand, they are no longer weak. Therefore, they do not call for peace. This is the reality of Islam, which sadly, most of our politicians do not know, and most of the people in the West do not understand. And here is the interpretation of that verse by the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir. Listen carefully. He said, do not be weak of fighting the enemy. Do not call them to peace. Do not have cease of fighting or peace with all the infidels. Do not stop engaging in war with all the infidels. In the case of your strengths, when you have larger number of people and larger number of weapons. What about in the opposite? Listen what Ibn Kathir said. If the infidels have might and large number, and the Muslims see that if we have cease of fighting, and we're talking about temporary cease of fighting, it is a period which Muslims will go in peace simply because they're waiting to gather more army or more weapon, which they will use to continue their goal to wipe out their enemies. If Muslims see that having a covenant with the infidel, with the enemies of Allah and the enemies of every Muslim, would be good for the Ummah, for the nation of Islam, they can do that. And then Ibn Kathir gave us a good example, as it was in the case of the Messenger of Allah. When the people of Quraysh hindered him to go to Mecca, he made peace with them. And how many years did this peace last? 10 years. And Muhammad accepted this offer, and Muhammad made a covenant with the people of Quraysh, and he had peace with the people of Quraysh for 10 years. And guess what happened in the end of the 10 years? Exactly. Muhammad practiced not the moderate teaching of the early Mecca Quran, which Allah has abrogated by the final teaching of the Medini verses of all the Medini chapters which Muhammad received in his last 10 years. Muhammad practiced jihad and terrorism. And that's how he was able to get rid of all the Jews and all the Christians and all the infidels of the people of Mecca. And that's how Muhammad and his early Muslim followers were able to get rid of all the infidels from the Saudi Arabia Peninsula, as he was able to accomplish that only in the last year of his life. After he returned to Mecca, that is when Muhammad invaded it and made it a holy city for the Muslims. So, yes, indeed, there are Muslims in America who are peaceful, who are loving, but that's not because they are believers in Islam, but simply because they are ignorant of Islam. They do not know the real teachings of the Quran. For Allah in the Quran never commanded any Muslim to be loving or peaceful with the infidels. But there are also others who knows exactly what is written in the Quran, and they know that the only way they can survive in the West is to pretend to be a friend, to live this fake peace of Islam. And these people are not just simple Muslims. These are the imams. These are the leaders of great organizations. Here in America, we have at least 30 Muslim non-profit organizations. All of them are Brotherhood Front. These are jihadi. These are the terrorists who get dressed in suits and ties, and they pretend to be these moderate Muslims. And we know for sure that they are nothing but jihadi, and these whom I call wolves in sheep's skin. Why do they do that? Because it's okay in Islam to lie. Simply, when Muslims practice taqiyya, that is Quran chapter 3 verse 28, or when Muslims are weak in the land, as we just have seen it in Quran chapter 47 and verse 35. But since Muslims do not have the upper hand yet in America, they are weak, and that's why they are peaceful.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straightwave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Now I'd like to talk to you about lying in Islam. First, let us look at a very powerful statement given by Joseph Goebbels. This is a propaganda minister under Adolf Hitler. He said, "If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The truth is the mortal enemy of the lie." You see, Joseph Goebbels and Hitler, both of them, knew how to destroy Europe. And they used lies as a foundation to even deceive the people of Germany, their own people. Do you know, when the Christians heard the preaching of Hitler, they thought he's a great minister. He's talking about revival. He's talking about a new movement in the church. He's talking about pleasing God. But what he was doing was very simple. He's mixing lots of truths with few lies. And he kept repeating these lies until all the Germans believed in him. And later, the church could not speak against him because he became so powerful. And that is exactly what the Muslims are doing today in the West. They are giving us small lies and they repeat them, and sadly, most Americans are believing these lies. Since September 11 until today, all what we heard from the Muslims who live in the West, those are the jihadi, the imams who are leading the jihad movement in America. They simply say to us, Islam is love, Islam is peace. They have actually influenced the leaders, the politicians, and the media in America, that now, even after all these years, and even after seeing all the fruit which is falling from the tree of Islam in Europe and here in America, we still see many of the liberals and our politicians are saying that Islam is love, Islam is peace. Why are the people in the West saying that? Is it because they read the Quran? No. Is it because they study the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith? No. It is simply because they believed in a lie, as Muslims continue to repeat their lies all over the West. Do you know that Allah said that it is okay for Muslims to deny their faith? Here, let me share with you what Allah said in Quran chapter 16 and verse 106 concerning denying the faith. Allah said, "Whoever becomes an infidel in Allah after he believed, except one who was compelled and his heart is secure in faith. But whoever opens his chest to the infidelity, the wrath of Allah will be on them and they will have great torment." Did you hear what Allah said? If Muslim apostate from Islam, he or she must be put to death. But when you read the word except in that verse, you will see this a license, a permission for Muslim to deny their faith if their heart is secure in faith. Which means what? If the Muslim is compelled, he or she can deny their faith. And that is the reality of how Muslims are taking over the West. Not only they're denying their faith, they're literally lying to us about everything about their faith. And that is the only way they can survive. Just imagine with me, 7 years after September 11, a man by the name Barack Hussein Obama will come to the American people and tell them, "Vote for me. I am a good Muslim." What is the chance for him to be the president of the United States of America? To be honest with you, he will not get but 1% of the votes, which is the vote of the Muslims who live in America. Even the Democrats will not vote for him, especially it was just 7 years after September 11. But Obama knew how to lie. Obama knew how to deny his faith because that is Islam. Quran 16:106. And he told the American people, "I am a Christian." But in reality, he was never a Christian. He never gave his heart to Jesus. He was never baptized. He never knew Christ to be the Lord and the Savior. He never believed in Jesus to be the only way for him to be saved to get to heaven. For Mr. Obama believed in Islam to be just as good as Christianity. And I'm sorry, anyone who believes in Muhammad to be a prophet, anyone who believes in the Quran to be a holy book, is not a Christian. So, according to the teaching of the Quran, it is okay for a Muslim to deny his faith as long as his heart is secure in faith. And if you think with me about how many millions of Christians who have been killed because they refuse to deny Jesus Christ since the birth of the cult of Islam until today, millions and millions were killed. Even up to recently, the last few years, we have thousands and thousands of Christians were killed. Just a few weeks ago, Boko Haram killed 2,000 Christians. And no one will speak on the behalf of these Christians. Why? Because the church is in a coma. For we apparently do not care about the rest of the body of Christ. What about what the Quran teaches about lying in the giving of an oath? Listen to what Allah said in Quran chapter 2 and verse 225. Allah will not hold you responsible for your mere utterance in an oath, but He will hold you responsible for that which your hearts gain. And Allah is forgiving, forbearing. Here, Allah is telling the Muslims, it's okay to lie when you give an oath, for it is lawful to lie to the enemies, as long as that's not what you meant in your hearts. It's exactly as Mr. Shahzad, this is the gentleman who tried to put a bomb in New York Times Square. And when he stood up before the judge in the court last year, she asked him, "Didn't you give an oath to give allegiance to our constitution, to our country last year when you became a citizen?" He said, "Yes, I said it, but I did not mean it." It is okay for Muslims to lie when they swear. And sadly, I wish our legislator can just simply understand this one verse, especially all those who are giving the citizenship to Muslims and those who are bringing more and more of the Muslims to America. They do not have any clue that it's okay in Islam, as Allah stated in the Quran, for Muslim to lie when they swear. Do you really believe Muslims in America who are becoming citizens are giving allegiance to our Constitution? Do you really believe that they're giving allegiance to our flag when they raise the right hand and repeat after some judge some words? Of course not. You know why? Because, very simple, Muslims first give their allegiance to Allah. Then they give their allegiance to Muhammad. Then they give their allegiance to their Muslim countries where they come from. Then they give their allegiance to the neighboring Muslim countries whom they are friends with. And then they give allegiance to the Muslim neighboring countries whom they are enemy with. And oh, my dear brothers and sisters, oh, if you know what Allah and Muhammad said about giving allegiance to America or to America Constitution, and then only you know that none of these Muslim believers give allegiance to our flag or to our Constitution. And as I shared with you in the past, I repeat again, if you really love our Constitution, why do you want to throw it in the trash can and replace it by Sharia, Islamic law? Finally, let me share with you what Muhammad taught the Muslims about lying in general. Muhammad said, it is lawful to lie in three cases: a man to his wife, that she will be pleased with him, or at the time of war, because war is deception, or to make peace between people. Did you hear what Muhammad said? These are the only three cases when Muslims can lie. They can lie to their wives, they can lie to their enemies, and they can lie to their friends. I think this covers them all. The foundation of Islam is lying and deception. After all, Allah is the best deceiver. And Muslims in America are no different than the Muslims all over the world. All what they need is a little bit more time that they may have the upper hand. And none of the imams and the Muslim leaders in America whom you see on TV lying, none of them will continue to do so, but they will completely turn around and they will use the final words of Allah, that is the Medini Quran, when they will practice the jihad and terrorism verses of Allah. And to continue with our study of jihad and terrorism of Islam, please join us again. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.